talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Hours to go, KM to 2 a.m. on the Fan in New York. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, talking sports, taking your calls. The Yankees are a trash can, garbaggio, dumpster juice. Everything's coming up pretty decent for the Mets when you think about where they came from and where they are now. They need to put those OMG signs up for sale in the stadium. I mean, it's not a bad look. It's not a bad look. When I talk about the Yankees, right? How buttoned up and how corporate and how serious the Yankees are, they refuse to get a home run prop. They got a guy with the most home runs in the league. They can't do something cool. I mean, a lot of teams have goofy jackets. The Red Sox were pushing like a shopping cart. The OMG thing is organic, is natural, is cool, but the Yankees will never do that. The Yankees are too Yankees to do a corporate or do a City Connect jersey. That's not corporate. That doesn't fit the Yankee history. Bom, bom, bom. Hey, fans. Come out to Yankee Stadium to see the Yankees get shut out by the Boston Red Sox. At least if you pulled up to Citi Field, you got yourself a soccer jersey. Now they got basketball jerseys, soccer jerseys, hockey jerseys, football jerseys for the Mets fans. It's lit. All the glizzies you can gobble out there. See more Wiener Hot Dog Night. Steve Cohen is having a blast, keeping the good vibes going in Queens. Some home cooking. Man, sweep the Washington Nationals. Why not? Sweep the Nationals. You already up on them 6-2. Then you get the Colorado Rockies. Like, I mean, you can go into this All-Star break with some late additions to the All-Star game. I think it's a foregone conclusion. Lindor has to be in. Snubbed, but they can fix it. He has to be in. Our very own Tommy Lugauer went out there with a tweet saying Francisco Lindor has entered the MVP conversation. I didn't hate on it. I immediately went to FanDuel. I'm like, okay, he's plus 4,500 to win the MVP. If the Mets win games, that helps his chances. And Brandon Nimmo doubled down on it. He said he's playing like an all-star and an MVP. So for all the Lindor haters, pipe down. We get it. For all the Brian Cashman haters, come to the front. So, yeah, there was some video. You know, I was asking for Cashman to pop out. But today I just was trying to clear my mind from the Yankees, honestly. I wanted to go into the Yankee game tonight, fresh off the off day, and see what they did. And right away, they pissed me off. I couldn't even get a bite of my dinner. My wife came home 6 o'clock. We cooked dinner after we put the baby down to bed. They blew my night. Carlos Rodon. And I just saw a video of him out there, hands on his head, sulking. Please, spare me. Spare me with the theatrics. Spare me with all of the antics. It's eyewash. Oh, you're so mad. Oh, you're so upset with yourself. Just be better. So, like, all that type of stuff goes against what the Yankees are supposed to be. All that type of stuff shows me that the Yankees are fraudulent. They're having an identity crisis again. They can't stop the bleeding. Us Yankee fans are just absolutely bleeding out. 888-808-1019. There's going to be a point in this show where I start talking football because I'm itching to go home and watch Hard Knocks. They have Brian Daboll interviewing the quarterbacks in this class. Here comes another Keith McPherson throwback to when he played football once upon a time ago. I'm a former quarterback. I love that stuff. I love watching them. Like, you remember when Gruden had his QB school? I absolutely loved that. To see Brian Daboll get to interview all the quarterbacks that he couldn't get because Tommy DeVito came through and won a couple games last year. I can't wait to go home and watch him talk to Drake May and Jaden Daniels and go through the offense and see how bright these young quarterbacks are, how sharp these young quarterbacks are, how NFL-ready these young quarterbacks are that he can't have because last year they wanted to beat the Commanders, they wanted to beat the Patriots, and that's who ended up getting those guys. 888-808-1019. Somebody call me and let me know if Wide Receiver is available on Netflix. I know it comes out today. Hello, good morning. It's July 10th. But, like, I don't know if it's available at midnight or if it's available at 10 p.m. because I might be up tonight. It might be a long one. I might be up till the sun comes up, 5:30, 5:45, when my baby starts screaming. Why not? I'll sleep during the day because I'm ready for some football. Tuesday into Wednesday night, party, because the Yankees, I can't. I love the Yankees, but I love football just as much, if not the same. And if you just heard me before the break, I'm going to start rocking just NFL logos. My fandom's up for grabs. Hopefully my son is more into football this year. Mark my words, in like 3 or 4 years, there's going to be some YouTube content as we choose his team. And whatever team he chooses, that's what I'm rocking with. Because I'm done with Jerry Jones. They're paying Ezekiel Elliott again. And they're paying Ezekiel Elliott for the dead cap money from the stupid contract that they gave him once upon a time when he went to... See, we don't want to even go down that way. Let's take these Yankees calls. Let's complain about the Yankees losing 17 out of 23 games. The most talked about losers in the world. Moose is in Jamaica. Moose, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, good morning, Keith.
Good morning.
Still riding, just like everybody. So I have suggestions for the bullpen and the lineup.
Okay.
Jimmy Garcia, he's a stud. Jose Leclerc, he's a stud. But to get him, we'll probably have to give up a top 15 prospect, a top 30 prospect. We can trade for a Brevia. We can trade for a Kittredge. We can trade for something like that, but that's not stacking the deck. Technically, stacking the deck is trading for a Camilo Duval or a Jason Foley, but they're under control for 4 years, so that's going to cost a top 10 prospect, top 30, yeah. Top 50. So, basically that's what it is. And if you remember the Royals in 2015, they legit had four closers in their bullpen.
Yeah, smart.
Legit. And for the lineup, we could trade for Josh Bell or Justin Turner, right? But is that really going to make a difference?
And Gleyber seems to be hot. Christian Walker was talked about, but I think they're good at first base now. They're going to keep letting this kid Ben Rice cook. Who else we're hearing out there? Jazz Chisholm. I think they're, you know.
Ridiculous.
I'd rather
and tonight
not.
Was the and tonight, the problem wasn't even the bullpen or the hitting. It was
Rodon. We were down. We were up, and then we were down three runs right away. So it's like, finally, we're clapping our hands. We're saying, yes, they broke through. They scored first. They put up a run in the first inning like they were doing.
Gleyber,
they were winning.
Of all people.
Gleyber of all coming people back from the groin injury. First game back. And then Carlos Rodon's not ready to go. He's not like that. This guy is not a gamer. He doesn't have it in him. He folds every time we need him. Every time we need him to take the ball and be a stopper, like we asked Garrett Cole to be all year last year, this guy ain't got it in him. He folds, and then he gets all mad and pouty in the dugout as if, like, that's going to make Yankee fans say, oh, well, at least he cares. No, pitch, be better. What are you doing?
I'm still riding, Keith. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm still riding, too, Moose. I'm a Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever. It's a long season. You can't get off the ride before the All-Star break, but you can call a spade a spade. They're the worst team in MLB right now. How? 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 Like, there has to be explanations for this. At your job, I don't know, let's say you work in sales, any type of sales, and let's say you're killing it. In the first 2 months of the calendar year, you're the number one in the Northeast region in sales. And then somehow you fall off a cliff in the third month. You have to answer for that. They're all different things would be put in place. Now you got to clock in. You got to check in with your boss in the morning. They're going to have you on some type of performance tracker. They're going to tighten up the screws on you to say, wait, how are you performing so well in the beginning of the year? And then this drop off happened. You went from being the best to the worst. Somebody call me and tell me how to figure it out. Pat's out on Long Island. Pat's on the Fan.
How's it going, Keith?
It's going.
Same boat as you. You know it's bad when I'm on X joking about, you know, what would John Sterling say when Rice hit that home run instead of me thinking they have a chance to come back.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not even thinking about John. And when you sent that tweet, I'm just like, I'm happy that John doesn't have to go through this. You actually made me think about my good pal, John Sterling, who copped out when it was good. A Soto photo. John saw Giancarlo Stanton hit a homer off the Poland Spring sign, and he said, I don't want to do this anymore. And good for him, because I'm hearing Susan moan and groan. I'm hearing all the, like, it's not fun for anyone in the Yankee universe right now. I'm glad John can be in the comfort of his home watching this, or turn it off, or turn on another game. Watch the Mets.
I agree 100%. And I'm hoping this is a blessing in disguise. I don't think our higher-ups will do anything about it, which my friend said something to me. I laughed at him, and now I got to mention it on here. Is there such a thing, we do what we did with Aroldis Chapman to get that, I don't like labor, but do we get rid of Soto and do a get rid of for a big package and buy him back?
No, if we get rid of him, get rid of him. I wouldn't want to buy him back, because the way this team is looking, what's the point? The only way you buy Soto, I don't know. We're getting so far ahead, and now we're grasping at straws. Pat, thanks for the call. But, like, the fact that Yankee fans gave up what they gave up for Juan Soto, and it's actually a conversation that we're having about trading this man at the deadline, what the hell happened? We're talking about this guy's an MVP, give him a blank check 2 months ago. Now you guys want to... No. I can't believe it. I really can't believe it. Jeff is in Westfield, New Jersey. Next up on the Fan. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, long time caller. First time with you, though. I mean, I've been on with Richard Neer, Summers, Melusa, Sal and BT, Ricky, Coach Danielle, and you are up there with all of them.
Well, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks
job.
For making the call.
And I love hearing about your son. I'm glad you're having fun.
Yeah, he's cool. He's crazy. I said to my wife, I want him to be a little bit older so I can beat him up a bit, because, like, he's a baby right now. I just got to take it. He's extremely bossy and crazy. I just got to accept that he's a 15-month-old baby. He doesn't know any better.
Yeah, wait till he's 16. You'll have even more fun. So I don't know if you're up in time in the morning to listen to Sal and BC at all.
Usually I get up right around that time. Well, I get up to help my wife and my son at 6:30, and I go back to sleep. But then I'm out of the bed by 10, and I usually catch them because I like to be on Twitch. I haven't heard much since I went away and came back. I didn't hear what they were talking about today.
I love listening to them when they're opening baseball card packs.
Oh, and, yeah, that's something. At first I was like, this is stupid. I don't know how this is gonna play. But they make it because they're both competitive and they have great knowledge of these, like, 80s, 70s baseball players. I could never do that.
Yeah, it's not easy. I actually sent them a few packs of cards and they thanked me on the radio for them. Anyway, let me get to the Yankees. So I've been going for 50 years. And I'm 60 years old now. I've been to over 200 games, including opening days, playoffs, World Series. And, you know, I just don't know what to say about the team right now. It's like I'm like tired of making excuses, or maybe this will happen, that will happen. And I just don't know what to say.
I know what to say. What we used to see was a consistently dominant team. Now we see a consistently fraudulent team. We see a team that makes us believe that they're dominant, believe that they're the Yankees of old. Then they evaporate, they fold, they collapse. It's a house of cards. Too many times in this recent era, we just find out they're not what we thought they were.
Yes, I'm not really going to games anymore. I was going to go to that Baltimore game that was at 4 o'clock, in end of June or something.
Good thing you didn't, because they hung 17 runs on us, and that game was over as soon as Gunnar Henderson hit that ball over Juan Soto's head.
That's when this heat wave started.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, I'm not going in the 95 degrees, and I just really can't handle the heat and the humidity anymore.
No, it's not worth it to sit out there and be a mess, and then the team is a mess, and you're like, wait, why did I show up for this?
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, I'll let you go. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Yeah, 888-808-1019. I mean, the fans are showing up. The Yankee fans are showing up. That's why I took a call the other night, and they were talking about ghosts. I think his name was Mike. And he was talking about, well, you know, you never hear about the ghost being activated at the stadium. And, like, the fans, maybe the fans aren't doing enough. I'm like, whoa, pump your brakes. How many games have you gone to this year? And the answer was zero. And that's okay. Plenty of years of my life, the answer was zero. But you never heard me speaking on what the fans in the stadium were doing. You can't tell by the TV. You got to go there. You got to be a part of it to know. And I know that the Yankees draw more than pretty much anybody. I mean, I was impressed seeing that the Mets had 31,000 in attendance tonight for soccer jersey night. Club going up on a Tuesday, as I usually say. Our club always goes up on a Tuesday. I remember seeing a video of Nestor Cortez talking about, I love it here, man. It's not like other places. Like, on a Tuesday night, Yankee Stadium has 37,000 fans in it, minimum, on a Tuesday night. Regardless of whether we think the team is cooked or not, fans show up. Because we like to, we're the Yankees. Like, we like, they're the Yankees, we're the Yankee fans, it's the Bronx Zoo. We like to show up to Yankee Stadium. It's our culture, it's what we've built. We're behind them every day. Like, it just, that will never go away. That's what, like, when I see the videos of the 80s and, like, Don Mattingly hitting home runs and there's nobody in the stands, I'm like, was it COVID? Obviously, it wasn't COVID. But the only time I've ever been in Yankee Stadium where it was empty like that was when they only let 10% capacity of us in 2021. The Yankees almost don't deserve the crazy fans that they get. But we, and at the same time, we make it harder for them. I think there's so much pressure on them. And so many players come in here and they're not built for this. They just don't have the metal. They don't have it. They don't have the cojones. They don't have the composure. They don't have the mental strength. And that's what we're dealing with Carlos Rodon. And he's on a 6-year deal. There's four more years left of this, potentially. I mean, it wouldn't be if it was me. Wouldn't be. I'm trying to trade him. I would cut him. I don't know. I cut his ass because I wouldn't be able to. Me as a fan, I can't look at bro's face anymore. Like, his face is starting to annoy me. The faces he makes when he gives it up is starting to annoy me. You give it up, like, be a man about it. And control yourself in the dugout. Like, all of that stuff is bad energy, bro. You put the team in a hole. So don't come into the dugout with your negative energy, moping around, pouting, like throwing stuff, trying to act tough or act like you're mad. We're mad. We're in a deficit. We're up 1-0. You couldn't hold for one inning? Good grief. Lee is in Westwood, New Jersey. Next up on the Fan. What's up, Lee?
Hey, Keith. You know, I feel like it's the same thing every year with these guys. You know, they were gangbusters. They were gangbusters out there early in the season, not doing the stupid mistakes that we've seen them make year after year after year. And then you're starting to see them now run themselves out of innings. And I don't know how to say this, but I'm just going to come out and say it. How many times do I have to watch DJ LeMahieu miss a ball at third base before they take him out of there? I mean, I know Cabrera's not, you know, Babe Ruth. But yeah. Can we at least get somebody that can field their position
over
there?
Yeah, he did it early tonight, and I just didn't even care.
It didn't cost them anything. But like,
still, it will one day. Yeah, it will one day. Yeah. And now that he's hitting a little bit, I can guarantee you he's in there. They're going to play him.
And J.D. Davis, if he's not going to play, what's he on this roster for? Like, and he better not play. Because I tell you, they better put the kid in against lefties because he homered against the lefty tonight. The platoon was a terrible idea from the beginning. Yeah. And they need to keep Ben Rice in there against lefties. And that's the thing that they do. They can't seem to get out of the script of the game. Anytime Boone gets a script that he has to deviate from, it seems like he has no idea what's going on. And they just find new ways to lose baseball games every single day. That's what bad teams do.
Smartest guys in the room. They have a script. They have a plan. And they get punched in the mouth, and that goes out the window, and they can't improvise. They can't, you know. They can't go off script, and we've seen that too many times. We've seen them play above their heads to start, whether it is the lineup or the starting pitching. Then they come back down to earth. It is a consistent theme year after year here, and that's not good. Like that, and that's why everybody's calling for the manager to be fired, and they're blaming Aaron Boone because they're saying, this is your group. This is your bunch. This is your era. You've had too many teams that come out of the gate super hot and then cool off. And then they got to pick up the pieces to the puzzle and figure it out before October. And they'll barely get right to go into October, whether they win the division or they're a wild card. And then ultimately, they're exposed again when they're playing the better teams and it's colder outside.
And I don't understand what he does, because if everything is scripted that comes from the general manager and the lineup is scripted and all that, his job is to do in-game and to make sure that these guys are playing up to the best of their ability. And they just they fall apart every single year. And you look at our records in close games, it's atrocious. And that's going to be a big factor when it comes into the playoffs.
Same thing with overtime. Same thing with extra innings.
Oh, extra innings, absolutely. I don't know if you saw Cashman today. He looked like hell. So maybe there is some stress going to him, and I hope so, because if he sits on his hands at the deadline, Keith, I'm going to be calling every single show on FAN screaming for his job, because if he does what he did last year at the deadline, he needs to go. He needs to go.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks for the call, Lee. But I'm also here to tell you guys what I know. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to step down, and they're not going to be fired. We did this all last year. I guess this year is going to be fire Boone. Last year was fire Cashman, 82-80. And that's what makes this year even more unacceptable. They went 82-80 last year, and there was all of this talk. After all is said and done, more is said than done. There was all this talk about being hell-bent on being a champion, which obviously is still in play. They very well could be. There was all this talk about not letting last year happen again. This team has reverted back to last year's team, which was a last-place team at times, a team that got swept, a team that couldn't score more than 3 runs. How many runs did they score last night? 3. 3 is the magic number. I think I said that in my opening. How sickening is that? And you got to depend on a kid like Ben Rice, who at this time last year was playing for the Tampa Tarpons. You got to depend on a rookie to give you some juice. The kid looks like he wants to win. He wants to play. And his at-bats look more competitive than most of the guys. Come on. That's bad. That's not okay. And I don't know what it's going to take. If getting embarrassed by the Boston Red Sox on Friday night with the Masataka Yoshida hit, with the Masataka Yoshida homer, and Clay blowing it, and then Ben Rice going heroic and, you know, having the back and forth with Devers and Verdugo and, you know, pimping home runs and, you know, the rivalry got going, and then you go in the rubber match, you actually get a bounce-back performance from Luis Gil, but you get shut out again. I thought this team was done getting shut out. You get shut out again. If getting shut out like that and then going to Tampa, like, if you couldn't dig deep, if you couldn't get right, and I like I said, it's contagious. Losing is contagious. Rodon blew the game right away. But 4 runs shouldn't be that much of a deficit to overcome. Like, I think it was when they got Trent Grisham on, I tweeted out, well, you can't waste a Trent Grisham leadoff single. They had runners on in the other innings. I don't even care to go through the box score, because it's not about wasted opportunities. It's not about the past. It's about the next. When will they break out of it? When will they decide enough is enough? When will it matter? When will they look pissed off? And not the fake pissed off like Carlos Rodon. I'm talking about pissed off where they turn that into swinging, into running. There was a stat today about how terrible they are at running the bases. And I think we all know that just by watching them. But I heard the stat during the game. I'm like, are we in bizarro world? The New York Yankees are the worst team at stealing bases. The New York Yankees are the only team not taking advantage of the new rules. Do they need to be sent a letter, a memo? Hey, hello. There's a guy like, I don't know. They don't have the athleticism, and they don't have the want to, and it's not good enough, man. And it's hard. It's hard right now. It's hard to believe that they're gonna just break out of this. It's hard to believe that this is just a flash in the pan. I asked you guys a couple weeks ago when we had the Subway Series, which one is more real? Which one is more tangible? The Yankees' struggles or the Mets' success? Both are real. Both are real. Sean is in Rockland. Sean, you're on the fan. What's up?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. First time caller.
Thanks.
I really appreciate when I get to drive home and listen to you at night. In the morning, you got a couple of guys, you don't always talk about sports, but you always talk about sports, so I appreciate that.
I try. So, if I talk about my son, someone on Twitter is going to be like, yo, knock it off.
Yeah, you do it a little bit, but not...
because, I mean, what else? I could talk all sports. That's what I like to do. I'm paid to do.
And you talk the facts. So I was calling because you mentioned earlier the OMG sign. and how the Yankees don't have any of that. No.
Say that again?
Sign for the Mets. Yeah,
you're breaking up a little bit. Yeah, the Yankees will not have a home run celebration prop. They won't. They just won't. I could just tell you that. That's a no-go.
They need it. I'm not a fan of it. The other thing you mentioned about, you know, a sales rep who had a killer first quarter doesn't have it. You know what happened to them? Accountability. And that's what the Yankees need, some accountability.
Right. And it's always lacking. It's always lacking, bro. They go 82-80. They say they're going to have a third party come in and audit them to check everything they're doing, and they scrap that. No, we don't need it. No,
we just talked about base running. Where does that go to? The coach.
Yeah, and also the guy that built the team. How come you don't have enough speed? How come you don't have enough guys that can get on base and steal bags when that's what the whole league is doing? That's what you just got, like, historically exposed by the Red Sox a couple weeks back. Like, they stole 9 bases on you because they know you're not up on that. Why are you not up on that? It's 2024.
Yeah, it's terrible. You're the Yankees.
You're the Yankees. You're supposed to have the best of the best. I remember Brian Cashman talking about, do you know we have the second to last largest analytics department? Well, maybe you should have the biggest. Maybe you should
have
the best.
You have the money to do it, so.
Maybe you should have the best of the best.
My last one here, I'm a Mets fan. I was in London for the series.
Awesome.
Stevie Cohen came to the tailgate with all the Mets fans.
Great.
And I got to give him a shout. He stayed in the tailgate at the bar for 2 hours and took pictures with every Mets fan.
I didn't hear anything about that. I went to the London series in 2019, way before I thought I'd be on WFAN. And I don't remember seeing Hal Steinbrenner in any bars. I know I was at a lot of the bars, but like that's real.
That's he came a memory. In, it was packed, and 30 minutes to get a beer, and it was hot in there. I went outside, and my buddy goes, I think the GM just walked in. We walk in, we walk by Cohen, and I go, I think that's Cohen. The line was forming already. Somehow I snuck in on the right side of the line and got a picture with him.
Good.
But he stayed for 2 hours, and he said it after the game. I stayed and enjoyed the Mets fan, and he's a true guy. Maybe that's
man of the people, a rich man of the people. But still trying to mix it up and be seen and be available. I ran into him in Legends Subway Series 2 years ago. I was so surprised. I just looked to my right, was walking up on this billionaire, took a picture with him, and honestly, I told him, keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing.
Richest man I ever touched.
Yeah.
And then all the players' wives were there, and my buddy went to get a hot dog, and he came back. He goes, I just ran into Pete's wife. I had a heart-to-heart with her. He goes, I know your husband, I love him. He's a great player. I know he's probably not going to sign back with us, but get the bag. Go get the money. And she's like, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I'd love that's what to it's about.
Eat. Yeah. Sean, thanks for the call, man. We got to go to break. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I'm going to start dropping some football stuff on y'all. I'm going to start talking about college football. I know you guys saw Mike Gundy. I might have to pull up the audio. Right, the same guy that gave us, come at me, I'm a man, I'm 40. The same guy now has a new viral quote. It's not the same type of vein. It's not funny at all. It is kind of funny, but it's wrong. And we'll talk about that, and I'll sprinkle in some NFL stuff because before you know it, we're 10 days into July. In 2 weeks, we'll be in training camp. And if the Yankees, I'm so disappointed in the Yankees. I'm actually looking at the Mets like, good job. I don't know if you guys heard me. When the NBA Finals ended and the Stanley Cup Finals ended, I said, this is our window, baseball fans. We have the floor. We have the sports spotlight. They always like to say nobody cares about baseball and the baseball is regional and niche and all these things. Well, here in New York, we care about baseball. Let's go Yanks. Let's go Mets. The Yankees absolutely disappeared and played their worst baseball. And the Mets rose to the occasion with everyone watching to play their best baseball. And now, if you're not one of the top teams, if you're not balling, interest will die down because everybody is obsessed with the NFL and college football. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
They've done it against the Atlanta Braves. They've come from 7 runs down here at the bottom of the 8th inning. They lead it 11-8. Incredible. Piazza with his 22nd home run of the year.
North sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
On the Fan in New York. Thanks for not dipping out during the break or going to sleep or watching Hard Knocks. Or did anybody find out if Receiver is on Netflix? Keith McPherson on the Fan talking sports. We'll definitely get to the football, but I have Yankee calls. We're going to get to the Yankee callers because they got to talk about the Yankees, man. Brian Cashman was available to talk about the Yankees, and I just went and read his quotes. I had one of them, but I didn't realize how much he talked. So if you didn't hear him speak, he said, because of how we're playing, I've decided to join us. It's been a struggle, obviously. Thankfully, we got out of the gates really strong, so hopefully that cushion will allow us to work through this hopefully sooner than later on because it's gone on long enough. So that's the quoted tweet that I found earlier that I read, I don't know, in the beginning of my show. I also said that he said there's concerns. And he says, it's my job to be in a position to never assume anything. Ultimately, today's a new day. We're hoping to get back on track today. That didn't happen. The Yankees lost 5-3 in Tampa. The game was over when it was 4-1 in the first inning. He goes on to say, it was a tidal wave of success here for the first 2 months. I just got to stop there. They always got to overstate. They always got to inflate. A tidal wave of success? No, you were just winning. Like, you were just winning series, and you hadn't lost a series. It wasn't a tidal wave. A tidal wave of success would have been an undefeated start. Would have been just like a, I don't know. Anyway, he goes on to say, then you closed out June into July in a really rough patch for an extended period of time. We got to be playing better than we currently are right now. This is not giving you anything, not telling you anything you don't know. And then he does take some accountability, as we're all looking for accountability here. It starts with me. No, that quote came from Aaron Boone. Yankees manager Aaron Boone said that Tuesday. I would like to see Cashman say, it starts with me. He says, I filter into the coaches, and it's about us trying to get these guys prepared the best we can, setting a tone with how we present ourselves. They've been failing at that. Carlos Rodon was not ready to pitch tonight. And then even though he locked in, he proceeded to pout and to make a fuss in the dugout, and that negative energy carried through the lineup where they weren't able to break through until Pepio, the starting pitcher for the Rays, was pulled and Ben Rice, the guy with the least service time, was able to hit a two-run bomb. He says, Boone goes on to say, it's on us as coaches to put our players in the best position possible to go out there and be successful. We've got to continue to try and do that to the best of our ability and trust that the ball is going to start to bounce our way a little bit, blah, 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 blah. So Cashman says, we're going to be open-minded to a lot of different things. I'm not going to point out anything specific, but we definitely have areas to improve, and we'll do our best. We just got to figure out our way through this ourselves, and hopefully we can add some outside pieces at some point. So that's talking about the deadline. Obviously, they're expecting to get some guys back, like Giancarlo Stanton. I did see Brian Hoke put out an injury update. Stanton could be ready for minor league rehab assignment later this month. Okay. Jason Dominguez is at the Tampa complex, but unable to do much. Still has a ways to go, according to Boone. Clayton Beter is seeing Dr. Keith Meister for right shoulder issues. His season may be over. Lou Trevino is throwing from the mound, but rehab has been a little bit slow. And we're expecting JT Brubaker and Scott Efros to emerge at some point, sometime soon. But that's not saving the New York Yankees. You have a healthy Aaron Judge. You have a healthy Juan Soto. You have a bunch of other healthy guys like Gleyber Torres, DJ LeMahieu, Alex Verdugo, Anthony Volpe. They're not playing well. They're not doing enough. It starts and ends with them. I don't know when it's going to click for these guys that they're not able to live off the past. They're not able to live off of what Jeter did. They're not able to live off of what Mickey Mantle did. They're not able to live off of what Don Mattingly, Reggie Jackson, anybody you can say in Yankee lore and history that got it done and played a certain way that made Yankee fans love this franchise and team. The way these guys are playing is making Yankee fans hate this franchise and team and hate each other. The greatest rivalry in baseball, Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. Because right now, half the fan base is glass half empty. The other half of the fan base is glass half full. Let's talk to some of those fans. Morris is in Brooklyn. What's up, Morris? You got it.
How are you, Keith? It's been a while. I haven't talked to you in some time.
I know. I heard you call C-Mac's show last night. Go ahead. Yes. What do you
so
have?
I did, because I couldn't get on with you. So basically, the reason why I haven't spoken to you in a while is because I stopped listening to you because I started going to sleep too late because I couldn't stop. So I decided to read instead at night.
Well, anyways, this always hits the podcast. You can start your morning with it. For anybody listening, do not let me keep you up at night. I wish I could go to bed.
Yeah, I'm busy during the day. But anyways, I started getting back into it because I'm just fed up with this team. And I'm going to repeat what I want to say something else also, but I'm going to repeat what I told C-Mac last night. And that is that I'll give you a valid reason why I think Boone's time is up. I don't think he deserves to be fired midseason. I don't think, like you said, Brian Cash is not going to do that. It's not his type. And I don't think he deserves it. But I think he deserves that his contract should be up. And that's because if you look at any of the veteran managers in past recent times, all of them, Gleyber Torres, what he's doing, and these stupid base running mistakes and errors would not happen under their watch. Look at Bruce Bochy, the Astros manager, Dusty Baker, or even Brian Snitker, or any of these, even the guy from the Nationals.
Or even Alex Cora. You know, it doesn't even have to be an old...
100%. It's not going to happen under them because they're not going to tolerate it. They're afraid of managers. The problem with Boone is that he's like one of the guys. He's like...
Boone.
They call him Boone, and they like joke Judgy, around with him.
Kingy.
Exactly. Exactly. Like could you imagine Derek Jeter calling Joe Torre Joey?
No, he called him Mr. T. He referred to him as
exactly,
Mr. T.
But like they respected him. He respected them. But like it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like he's like one of the players.
Yeah. I just got sick thinking about it. Because you're 100% correct. And I know more than some people know. There needs to be a separation of church and state. And I think he does hang out with some of these guys in the off season and have like a buddy French. I don't want to speak on some of the things that I know, but I have heard some things cited about, you know, in the off season linking up with Boone. Like there has to be separation of church and state. There has to be a separation of like authority figure. I don't know, man. You're right though. You're right.
Yeah. They need a veteran manager. They need that's it. They got to like toughen up this team, and that's it. You got to win in the playoffs. That's the main thing. Anyways, and I think that they should attack the deadline, and they got to get. I think they should get Cody Bellinger. I want to know what you think about that.
they were supposed to get Cody Bellinger three different times already. I don't know. They could trade for him. Sure. I thought there was a chance, but once they made the deal for Verdugo and Soto, I was like, nah, they're not going to get Cody Bellinger. Maybe they go for it. That would be something that would shake this clubhouse up, energize the fan base.
And the second thing, if you don't mind, is that Oswaldo Cabrera should be the starting third baseman. I don't know why they're putting DJ LeMahieu out there.
They don't love Oswaldo. Like you say, and Oswaldo, as much as we like to inflate who he is, Oswaldo isn't like that consistently enough. He'll give you a spark. He'll give you a flair. He'll be clutch here and there. When the game gets stagnant, he's been the type to break it open. But
yeah, but when they put him in the beginning of the season, he was doing nothing but hitting.
We're not in the beginning of the season anymore. Much has changed since the beginning of the season. Carlos Rodon was an all-star. Luis Gil was an all-star in the beginning of the season. Yeah, they played him every day, and they traded for John Birdie. They didn't even want to. You know what I'm saying? They didn't even want to start him on opening day and play him every day. They defaulted into that, and he actually helped the team win. They still traded for John Birdie, and as soon as John Birdie came back, they sat him down. They don't love him like that.
And what is Brian Cashman getting J.D. Davis? Come on, what a joke.
Yeah,
this is a New York Yankee.
When he came available, I remember he came available around the same time as Jose Abreu. And I'm like, if Jose Abreu is being DFA'd and J.D. Martinez are being DFA'd, like, we shouldn't even take a flyer on those guys because that means they're cooked. And that means they can't help this team. This team needs young, athletic, talented players, and they don't have enough.
Yep. Thank you so much, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Morris. I remember Morris, his first call to me was talking about how he really started watching this team just over the last few years. And what he said early on this year was, why should I get so excited over this? And I understand that. Like, why should I get so excited that the movie starts off good? It could end terribly again. And I only have to go off of what I've watched in the past. You know, this ride is going to crash and burn. So why should I get my hopes up? Why should I get so excited? Because you're a fan. That's what you do. And I know there are young fans that haven't won a World Series, haven't gone through it. But, man, like that feeling of actually reaching the top of the mountain and going through every game and series and week and month with the team, it's amazing. And this Yankee team could still potentially do that. It just doesn't feel like that now. It just, like, as much as it felt like that in May and in April, that has evaporated. And I think it's going to take a lot to get this fan base to really say, yeah, we're a contender. We're a World Series contender again. Craig out in Hoboken. What's up, Craig? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Great, good to hear you, man. I love the show. I'm going to reiterate what I said on CMAC the other night. And if you look at both teams, you hit it right on the head. That Subway Series, you got one team going in one direction, one team going in the other. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, what's more believable? It's the Mets. And I'm sorry, I'm saying as a baseball fan, that lineup, the Yankees, it's easy to start off with a bad start and recover from it. When you start playing horrible baseball in the middle of the season, that's not easy to recover from.
Right.
And when you look at that lineup, other than Judge and Soto, if I was any other team, I'd walk them because nobody around them has proved they can get the job done, Keith. And I don't hate on the Yankees. I'm from New York. You know, at the end of the day, it's good for business, whoever's in the playoffs for baseball. I'm just saying this is not a good lineup. And Rondon, you look at Rondon, it's another Jake Arrieta, Keuchel. He had one good year. He's not an ace. At most, maybe a number four. At most. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not a good deal. It's not looking like a good deal. And the book is out on him. And every time he folds, more people are looking at Cashman like, why'd you sign this guy? You should have kept Jordan Montgomery. This was a mistake. Yes. Yeah, I get it. I hear you.
I feel for Yankee fans because they're like, oh, let's get Guerrero Jr. Let's get Bellinger. You're not one player away from making it to the World Series at all.
They have like five needs, honestly. And there's no way that they're going to be able to.
All the time.
There's no way they're going to be able to fix all that in the next 3 weeks.
There's no way. It's one thing, you know, the Mets started off bad. I understand, but a lot of those games, the difference is a lot of those games, the Mets did not hit. They're playing with a culture and heart.
They didn't hit. And the same issue they have now is the bullpen, right? So,
and they're still winning.
Exactly, because now they figured out the lineup. They moved Lindor. J.D. Exactly. Martinez wasn't here in the beginning of the year. Mark Vientos came back. Francisco Alvarez was hurt. They got the pieces of the lineup in order. Nimmo has been balling out of his mind all of a sudden. Like, they got that together where they can just score enough runs where they don't need the bullpen. The bullpen can give up.
Exactly. You have young players. Iglesias. Okay, so it's Grimace. It's an OMG song. Listen, I don't care if it's Ronald McDonald. I don't care if it's the Pope. Anything that's going to give a team culture, that's all that matters.
I don't care what it is either. You could point to 100 different things as long as the result is W's.
Exactly. As a baseball fan, I watch some of those Yankee games and I'm like, here's a guy booting the ball. Here's another guy not running hard. Here's another guy throwing away a double play ball.
Not knowing to run and score.
Exactly.
Another two guys that aren't playing, but they're playing games and doing a standoff during the national anthem, which is a distraction and nonsense that no one needs.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call, Craig. Yeah, I guess I should start talking some football out here, yo. I love the game, you know. I love watching Hard Knocks. As soon as I go home, I'll make something to eat, cut on Hard Knocks. I just want to hear Dable kick these guys' formations, motions, play calls, and see these young quarterbacks try to take it all in. and put it back out and draw it up on the whiteboard. I used to do that. I used to be, you know, I think I said on air once, playing quarterback in college was harder than any class I took in college. Because it is a class. You have to study. You got to know offense and defense. You got to know the offense you're running, and you got to know the defenses you're facing. But then you got to do it while it's 90 degrees out and someone's trying to take your head off, and you're competing against three other quarterbacks, and yeah, good time. And a lot of times I was doing that hungover, made it even harder. But I still understand the terminology. I love when they spit out plays and people are like, oh man, that's a lot. And it's like, it's a lot, but it's not, right? You always know your personnel first, and you got to know your personnel, how many backs, how many receivers, you know, your skill positions. Obviously, your line is pretty much the same unless you're going tackle eligible. That's still personnel. But it's always going to be your personnel. You got to know who's in the game, and then you're going to go formation. And if there's motion, it's motion to the formation. And then it ends with the play call. And a lot of times the play call calls out who the first read is or who you're targeting. And there was a clip of Daboll with Brian Daboll with Jaden Daniels where, I guess mid-play, he switched all the skill positions. Like, all right, I want the tailback here. I want the halfback here. I want the X receiver here. I want the Y receiver here. Like, I just want to go watch that. I just want to go home and watch that. And I made the joke before, like, how funny is it that you get a top 10 pick, a 6 overall pick, and this is a quarterback-heavy class. Who knows what these quarterbacks are going to be? But because you had to, in your second year being head coach, prove that you were a good head coach, prove that you, you know, had a grip on the franchise and you guys weren't tanking, which I remember myself and C-Mac coming in here every night saying, tank? What? Tank? Tank? Who cares about Daniel Jones? Who cares about Tommy DeVito? Who cares about Host on the Fan telling you Tommy DeVito might be the guy, might be the future? And shout out to Tommy DeVito and his agent and his whole camp, Jersey. But running Tommy DeVito out there to beat the Packers, to beat the Commanders, to beat the Patriots, potentially cost you a franchise quarterback for the next 10, 15 years. One of them, who I remember telling you last year, is going to be in your division. You're going to have to play against this guy. That's Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is small, though. I just don't know how he's going to hold up. I think he's going to be hurt. I think it could be an RG3 situation all over again. Like, he could have a breakout year before they get film on him. But once they get their hands on him, I know they protect the quarterbacks. But, like, they got to bulk that kid up. He's fragile. Like, I could see Brian Burns, you know, breaking that kid's arm. 888-808-1019. And this receiver, Doc, like, if you watched quarterback last year, it's funny. I talk about how the day that I quit on the Yankee season last year was July 16th. And Clay Holmes and Tommy Canley and whoever else, they blew it against the Colorado Rockies. I think CJ Krohn hit one out, and I was like, are you kidding? Like, this team finds ways to lose. And that day, to take a break from watching the Yankees, as I need a break from watching the Yankees right now, I actually need a break. I thought I got a little bit of a break during 4th of July, going to a place where nobody cared about the Yankees. I sat down tonight, and I'm like, this sucks. To take a break from watching the Yankees, I started watching quarterback on Netflix last year with Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota, and of course, Pat Mahomes, and it was excellent. So now, this year, they're doing receiver with Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then George Kittle and Deebo Samuel from the same team. Like, I got to watch this. I gotta lock in for this. It's going to be good. So, yeah, when we come back, we'll talk NFL football. As now I'm starting to see rankings, I actually have a Bleacher Report live stream where they want me to rank the top 10 rosters coming into the NFL, and I haven't figured that out. But people are starting to put out, you know, their rankings, and here we are going into another training camp. It's going to be football frenzy. It's going to be football time. Like, you know how Americans just are diehard football fans. That's one thing that's consistent across the land. There's some pockets where they don't care about baseball, but everywhere they care about football. And Oklahoma doesn't have an NFL team, but we're going to talk about Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy, and his comments when we come back. BRB.